This week in Your Parents' Basement, we're playing as the second best band from Boston and saving people from a lame, dystopian future of 1996. From 1994, we're playing Revolution X by Rage Software and published by Acclaim and Midway for the Super Nintendo and Sega Genesis. I'm Steve Greenwell, and with me is the co-host that's an eager concubine of Headmistress Helga. It's Todd Brisket.
Hey, let's get those non-boys.
And our other regular co-host, he knows exactly where to find Aerosmith's car across the city. It's Huell Hauser.
All video games, television, magazines, and especially music have been declared illegal and are strictly forbidden.
And not by the New World Order, by a similar organization, though. You can reach us by email at parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter and Facebook. If you like the show, be sure to subscribe to it on iTunes and give us some stars. You can also join our Discord channel by going to ypbpodcast.com/Discord, where you can chat with all the sweet baby boys. And as always, please support the show by using our Amazon click-through link. You can find it right on the YPB homepage, ypbpodcast.com. This week's game is Revolution X. First released in the arcades by Midway in 1994, Revolution X was a well-reviewed on-rail shooter. It was originally going to be a Jurassic Park game, but Midway couldn't obtain the license and instead got a license to make a game based on Aerosmith. Unfortunately, though, the home ports were made by Rage Software and are noted as being significantly worse. Since we've been playing good games lately and have another one scheduled for next week, we figured it would only be fair to play a bad one this week. Huell, was your rage sufficiently stoked by this one?
So, as we know, this is a pretty bad licensed game where someone's likeness is licensed. And believe it or not, I have some history with this game as a child.
But is it bad? Is it bad, though?
I mean, it's a standard like light gun shooter because my history is actually in the arcade. I never played the console one. So it's known as being like a decent to basic like 90s arcade light gun shoot around kind of thing, and it is. I mean, it's your standard 50 enemies running at you, running around the room. You're shooting through a nightclub, and then you're shooting through the town. You're shooting down helicopters. So this could be, as implied by S. Greenmeld, this could be a game about anything. It's just kind of Aerosmith's kind of tacked onto it.
So, I liked it better when it was called Terminator 2, the arcade.
Yeah, and that's I was going to bring that up. Terminator 2 is like probably the most commonly known of this type of game, like the light gun, machine gun shooter.
Like, yeah.
You call it on rails, so I guess it's like first person arcade. You know, everyone's seen these kind of games. But Revolution X is one I played as a kid in the arcade.
Yeah, Operation Wolf is one I remember for the NES and the arcade as well. Like, you're just going like left to right and enemies pop up on the screen. Virtual Cop is another one.
Yeah.
Time Crisis is like the best version.
Well, Time Crisis is a little more active and you only really have a pistol. This is just like straight up machine gun. You just hold the trigger down the whole time. Like, there's no.
And also, Time Crisis is one where you have 3D models. And this is one where you have motion capture.
This is a classic sprite based motion capture. Like, we refer to the Mortal Kombat method.
Lethal Enforcer situation going on.
A little bit. So, I'm curious how this started as a Jurassic Park game, because I don't know how or in what way. Because it's like based in a city. Like, the plot is Aerosmith has been kidnapped by this New Order nation, because this is the New World Order that S. Greenwell referred to. So this New Order nation somehow rose to power. They've outlawed all media, and Aerosmith was playing in this underground club, and they broke in and kidnapped them, so you have to go rescue them by just shooting around the city and murdering probably tens of thousands of their soldiers.
Murdering everyone.
It's odd. Yeah. Like, it's all human enemies, and you're just running around a city, so I have no idea what the Jurassic Park connection could have been. Like, I guess you could reskin it, but, like, it seems like a lot of work.
I think it was just the idea was, hey, we did Terminator 2. Wouldn't it be fun if we did Jurassic Park and we're shooting dinosaurs and stuff.
Did this developer do Terminator 2?
I believe they did. Like it's Midway. Like, Midway did like every significant arcade game.
Yeah, every 90s movie that became a video game. was probably Midway.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so playing the console one, you have the same issue you have with most either arcade, light gun, or mouse-based game that gets ported, is the cursor is awful. So, I mean, you get the D-pad, you're trying to move the cursor around. I mean, they at least give you the option to change the speed of the cursor, so maybe it's something you're more comfortable with, but it's never quite right. Had you guys ever played this before?
I've never played the console ports. I played tons of the arcade version. Never the console. Actually, I didn't play the console this week because I had access to the arcade and popped a few quarters in that one.
Hmm. Yeah, the arcade one that I got delivered to my house didn't come with a light gun, so I had to end up playing that.
It was in need of some maintenance.
Yeah, I ran out of time. I couldn't call my regular guy. Couldn't clear his schedule out in time. So. Yeah, it's the first time playing the console one, and I mean, the other issue you have porting a arcade game to the console is the you almost have like too many lives because you can't like the concept of lives and credits doesn't really translate because you just get here's 25 lives because you can't put quarters in your Super Nintendo. Like, so it's just it's like a direct port, so it's like it's really weird.
The thing is, you like need all of them though. Like,
you kind of do, yeah.
Just because the control is not good, like it ruins the whole experience. Like, I just found it so hard to line up to shoot guys. And I had the control on like the slowest setting, so that like you could stop much easier. Like I tried playing on the fastest setting for like 5 minutes, and I was like, oh, this is just impossible. I gotta restart.
Yeah, you just hit the left and the right of the screen, and you're never in the middle because it just flies across too quickly.
Yeah.
You can't stop on the enemy that's actually shooting you.
Mm-hmm. And the confusing thing to me was they did it this way. The Super Nintendo has a mouse for it that, like, what it came out for Mario Paint. Like, Mario Paint was a popular game. A lot of people had the mouse. And even beyond that, like, you know, there were guns for both of these systems. Like, they weren't super popular, but you'd figure if you're doing this kind of game, you should at least make that a valid control option instead of like only the controller. Like, it seems like an odd choice to do it that way.
Like, I could see where maybe taking that extra step is maybe not worth it, but at the same time, why are you porting it to the Super Nintendo at all if you're not going to at least make
money? They're going to get sales no matter what kind of control it has.
Is Aerosmith's on it?
No, it was a very popular arcade game. Like, everybody played it as a kid. Right. Every single person.
Everyone on Earth.
Yeah.
Well, that's probably what they're thinking was. Like, oh, this is a popular arcade game. It's got Aerosmith on it. It doesn't matter if it sucks. People will buy it. Like, it's the same reason why they do, like, the Home Alone game and the Wayne's World game.
Oh, boy.
And, like all just a whole bunch of these awful games. Like,
so it's like how some movies, like, don't let critics review it, hoping for that first week of sales before the word of mouth doesn't get out yet. They're just hoping that, hey, I see Aerosmith's Revolution X on the shelf, I'm going to buy it, and then it's too late.
Yeah. That's how we get Battleship the movie as well. So.
The Rihanna vehicle.
And I don't know. On one hand, the other thing is they really have to downgrade the music from arcade to the console.
Oh, yeah.
Now, the arcade version features, I don't know if it's perfect CD sound, but it's pretty good CD sound. Like, it's Aerosmith tracks as you go around shooting things. The Super Nintendo version, it's muted and it's more quiet. But oddly, there's still voice samples, which I don't remember being a big thing for Super Nintendo games.
I am surprised that there was as much voice as there was.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not like a ton, but like between every level, Steven Tyler's telling you how cool you are. And like it's in full voice. It's like him talking.
Yeah.
It's weird. Or surprising, I would say.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's just because there's not as many stages in this game. I think there's only like 5 levels or 6 levels.
Okay. Yeah. There are 2 that you go to no matter what, and then you pick the other 3 in order, and like you get to pick which one you go to. And then there's the final stage. So yeah, 6. It was a long way to get to.
Yeah. Add together. And there's only like 3 different enemies in the entire game too. It's just repeated over and over.
That is one of the biggest problems.
The graphics and visuals, the gameplay, that kind of code has not taken up much space on these carts. It's
no.
They have enough room to put on some long sound clips of talking.
Extremely condensed audio.
And by the way, I didn't get past the first stage because I got to basically you get to the Aerosmith concert and like then some baddies attack you and there's just a door on the stage. And I guess you had to like shoot a lock off the doors or something.
Yeah, I have that as a note because I might have been sitting there for 5 minutes killing.
I was absolutely just sitting there killing baddies.
Uh-huh. Because the concept up to this point, even though it's like only 10 minutes, is you move on to the next stage by killing all the guys. So then you're at the end after Aerosmith gets captured, and there's just endless swarms of troops. You're killing them all and never going anywhere. So I was sitting there like, wow, this is a pretty repetitive game. Until I just happened to shoot the middle of the screen, which was the door. And then the level ended, and I was like, wow, that was a waste of time.
Yeah, I had a similar experience. I did not figure out how to beat it. Like, I eventually just said there has to be some trick to this, or my game is glitched.
Exactly.
And then I finally went on. Yeah, then I finally went on YouTube and saw the video I watched. The guy got past that screen in literally like 3 seconds. Like, he shot one bad guy, then he shot like the door handle, and he was on to. You go into like a little enclave and like enclave,
maybe
like the dressing room for Aerosmith, and Herzog. It plays 2. I'm good at talking. What can I say? So it plays a little video from Steven Tyler, and he tells you that like you're the last hope for humanity, and then it's a video, but somehow he gives you a key. I didn't understand that part.
Great.
That is, and they do that in the arcade too, which is, and there's, you go into the back room, into their dressing room, and you fight a billion bad guys, you blow up the TV in that room, and then at the end of the stage, once you beat all the bad guys, once you blow all the bad guys' brains all over the place, Steven Tyler appears on a busted out TV and says, "Hey, I'm Steven Tyler."
He's like, if you've seen this, like, it's too late. Like,
he's acting like it's a video recording. And then he tosses keys through the TV to you.
So I don't know what that is. If he's actually there, is he on coke? Is it a recording? Yeah.
Some Ring movie.
Yeah. Action there. The fly comes out.
Little Sadako Samara thing.
Part. He tosses keys to you.
Yeah.
Out of the screen. And it's also implied that all of Aerosmith only has 1 car.
Yeah, and it's
Aerosmith's car.
It's a two-seater Lamborghini.
So it's clearly just Steven Tyler and Joe Perry.
They have to put
take a taxi.
They have to put Jimbo in the back.
Whatever one of the other 3 guys is.
Steven Tyler and Joe Perry get to ride in the front seats.
Oh yeah,
and then,
front 2 seats.
Jimbo and Ronnie have to. Get on skateboards and hang on to the back.
Nice. Or maybe like a radio flyer wagon. They all 3 cram into it. Oh yeah, I love that part. That was amazing.
Yeah. This is just also, by the way, I don't know how they settled on Aerosmith for this because I guess they were popular at the time this game came out, but I always thought they were a hard rock band, but they aren't like a destructive metal band to me.
It is, I mean, it's not like the most obvious choice, but I guess like maybe everyone else said no. Like Metallica's like, F off. Like, that's like the only other, that's like the probably the most obvious choice for this mid 90s thrash game, but like
Bon Jovi already had his other deal going.
Yeah. Bon Jovi still had the spandex, so.
Yeah, Chris Cross already had a game, and so did Marky
Marky Mark.
And I guess Aerosmith is not exactly known for being shy about marketing things.
Oh.
So.
Wasn't probably this prime comedy pop culture time for Aerosmith. Weren't they all over Wayne's World on SNL at this point, around this time?
That was a little bit before this game, but they were
the snifferoo.
They've always been, they've always been quite eager to sell their image,
put themselves out there.
Yeah, I mean they did that awful song for the Armageddon soundtrack, after all. Oh, so
boy. That was in 1998,
and they teamed up with Run DMC for basically publicity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But
please love us.
Well, also there's like a half dozen books about Aerosmith. I've read read two of them. And they're basically just all about all of the insane drugs they did. Yeah. So
and they, all the Super Nintendos they had.
Yes. big video game fans while they were doing weird stuff with drugs. So I don't know, how far did you guys play this one this week? Like I said, I got through a stage and then I was like, I'm gonna watch on YouTube how to actually beat the stage.
I mean, that's all you have to do in this game. There's nothing tricky about it. Oh, and so how far I got? Yeah, first stage, second stage, and then just watch a video. There's nothing to it. You're just shooting bad guys over and over.
Yeah, I beat the second stage, which is a hell of a boss. I think that's where I lost the most lives trying to shoot down that damn helicopter. But I do like how, a lot of shoot 'em up games, you have your main machine gun, maybe you shoot missiles or something as your secondary weapon. In this one, you're shooting CDs.
Yes, chopping up fools with compact discs.
The most destructive substance known to man.
Mm-hmm. Well, as Steven Tyler tells you in the beginning of the game, remember, music is the weapon.
Yeah, he says that. He says that in that video key moment. Music is the weapon. So I guess it's because the New Order Nation hates music and media so much that even the mere sight of a CD destroys them.
Yeah,
it's pretty awesome.
Huh.
So yeah, you beat two levels and you're fine. You get it. Probably one and you get it.
One note I had from the old Wikipedias here was, did you guys run into the mistress?
Oh, Helga? You mean
the main boss of the game?
Yeah, headmistress Helga.
Yeah, she's the boss of the game, of the non-boys.
Mm-hmm. The non-boys.
I guess it means New Order Nation. I just figured that out.
Yeah. Played by Carrie Hoskins, who also was Sonya Blade in Mortal Kombat 3.
Mm-hmm. Whoa.
And also,
what a career.
I fell down the wiki hole on this one. Hey, she's had a few Playboy appearances as well.
Uh-oh.
Yep.
Let me write this down. Okay.
Yes. And now she apparently now she's just like a she's an artist, a photographer, and in 2012 she ran for a seat on the King County, Illinois board.
Oh, nice!
I've always considered her an artist. That's not.
I always respected her ever since I saw her in Mortal Kombat. I was like, this lady, she's got politics. And get behind those politics.
I'd let her tell me what to do.
Important distinction though, she was Mortal Kombat 3. Mortal Kombat 1 was some other lady, apparently, who sued Midway because they put her in Mortal Kombat 2 and just didn't ever pay her for it.
Nice.
So,
reuse those assets.
Yeah, so, you gotta warm over that IP.
So their response was to just replace her.
Yes, that was their response.
Brush it under the rug.
Yeah. And I will say, Carrie is very, she is much more a model than the first Sonya Blade. The first Sonya Blade, apparently they just found like at a Tai Chi gym. So she's, she's quite a bit buffer than old Carrie here.
Yeah. I mean, the budget was probably low.
Yes.
Yep. Do you want to know what Helga's no-nos are?
Oh, absolutely. I would love nothing more.
No shooting power-ups, no destroying bridges, and no tattoos.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
Just keep those in mind, or you're going to get punished.
What is this? Trump's America?
Hopefully.
It kind of is.
Well, yeah, to be honest.
It is weird that a woman who calls herself Headmistress Helga would be against tattoos, but it's the odd sort of world she lives in.
She's the leader of the New Order Nation. I mean, we don't want individuality. We don't want entertainment.
Yeah, but black leather is okay for basically every enemy in this game and her.
Yeah, it's all uniform. Everyone's the same.
So I just had a few notes for Where Is It Now. Oddly, this game did well enough in the arcades that a sequel was initially planned. It would have featured Public Enemy instead of Aerosmith. I saw this a couple times on Wikipedia and other places on the internet, but I couldn't actually find like an interview with like a developer or something that, you know, sourced it. So I don't really know how true that is.
Your reporter instincts kicked in.
A little bit, just because that seems like ridiculous. Like that Public Enemy is a somewhat socially conscious band. So I don't know. Then again, the Roots are the house band for Jimmy Fallon. So who even knows? However, according to Wikipedia, it was scrapped after the ports of Revolution X did so poorly. Also, oddly, there are three video games starring Aerosmith in one form or another. I think most people know that Aerosmith, they have a version of Guitar Hero, and it's perfectly fine. I've played it. It's a cromulent game, if you like Guitar Hero. However, Aerosmith was also involved in something called Quest for Fame. Released in 1995, this was basically an incredibly early version of Guitar Hero or Rocksmith. At first, it worked by plugging a plastic guitar into your computer, although later versions instead just had you hold a pick, like a plastic pick that you plugged into your computer, and you strugged it across anything rigid, like a tennis racket. You tried to stroke in rigid. Rhythm.
To find a place to finish.
Oh, perfect drop. You tried to stroke in rhythm to the chords in grainy full motion video of Aerosmith tunes.
So you watch a video and stroke against something rigid.
Yes.
This is a family friendly show here.
Just in time.
Good point, Smo. Good point.
Okay.
So I shared the videos with you guys of that game, and it just looks, you know, it looks very mid-90s in every wonderful way that you could imagine.
So, I don't know. A game starring Aerosmith doesn't seem like it'd be that 90s. I mean,
well, I mean, like, there's a tutorial video from the game on YouTube that's wonderful.
Quest for Fame.
And also, just like the gameplay, again, it's kind of like a muted version of an Aerosmith song. So
I do like the dude in the paisley shirt and vest. That also screams 90s. So this is the dude in the instructions.
Oh, yes.
Sorry, odd segue. Yeah, in the Quest for Fame tutorial.
Yes. And it's like this weird early full motion video style video.
Yeah.
Where it's just kind of choppy and stilted. It's
on an obvious green screen. Yeah.
Yeah, it's magic. And also the other segment online is it's some British chat show or chat program, as they
a
say
panel,
in the UK.
Panel show.
Yes, and this dude is like playing the game and acting as if it's one of the coolest things he's ever seen. So,
oh my god, he is on a tennis racket. This is incredible.
Yes, he is. He's a rocking dude. What can I say?
Wait, his pants are off. I don't know if this should be on television.
Well, you know, they have looser
cummerbund showing.
They have looser rules in the UK. So that's kind of what the other notes I had for this one. So
he's basically a British VJ.
Yes,
from MTV. So except a lamer.
I feel like they're lagging a little bit behind even MTV at this point, though. Like, wasn't like TRL on MTV by this point?
94? Like, no.
Oh, 95, 96.
I don't think so.
Yeah, you could be right.
It feels like more of a 98 thing. A whole 2 years later.
Oh, yeah. TRL. Good call, Huel. First episode, September 14th, 1998.
Oh, boy. Nailed it.
Yeah. Lasted 10 years. So, feels like so much longer.
Prime, like, Britney and NSYNC times. Like, that's what you got to think.
Mm-hmm.
I have all my time frame of references based around NSYNC. So that's why I figured it was 1998.
I don't know if that's better or worse than if it was based on Britney Spears. So.
Was this pre or post No Strings Attached?
Oh, pre. Yeah.
Yeah, they probably debuted the first video from it on TRL.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that makes sense.
Good times. Huel, did you have any more notes for this one?
Oh boy. I mean, I do like the plot of this. It's like the most basic plot to like get kids angry. It's like, they banned video games and TV. We should kill these guys. Like, it's like, what's going to make kids the most angry? It's like, here's this government agency saying, hey, man, no more video games. So I do like that. It's like, it's as basic as you can get. So, yeah, the story in the manual is they don't say how they came to power. It's just, the world is about to be unified under one oppressive governing body, the New Order Nation. Mm-hmm. So that's all you need to know. It's like, here they are. See you later, video games and TV. So I guess Revolution X refers to Club X, which is the club you shoot your way through in the beginning where Aerosmith is playing. So mm-hmm. you're the revolution against the New Order Nation.
Yes.
It's a lot of just weird.
Are you revolutioning against a revolution?
No, they're not a revolution. They're the powers that be.
Ooh. So they have already assumed control. I thought they were in process of taking control.
I mean, they're about to.
No, they've already assumed control. They're sending out their enforcers to destroy every TV and amplifier that they can come across.
Destroy rock bands. Super cool rock bands.
Yeah. My favorite thing about this game is that your job is to save Aerosmith, who can bring music to the world. You want to keep music going for the world, but you get bonus points by blowing up amplifiers in this game.
Yeah. And shooting CDs and presumably destroying them in the process by launching them out of your gun.
There's a big plot hole in this game.
Yeah. Everything else just holds together so well, except for that one aspect.
Yeah, it's weird. It doesn't feel cobbled together at all. So,
mm-hmm.
It sucks that that's the glaring weakness.
I guess
I could. Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was saying I could just talk about the manual now because I was already reading the plot.
Oh, you read my mind.
Oh boy,
what? How many Mario 2s? This manual.
So I looked at the Super Nintendo one, It's full color, which is a plus. This is a pretty good manual, actually. So, as you can probably guess, there's moderate levels of SAS here. It's not the sassiest manual we've ever had, but there's at least enough there to keep it interesting. I mean, there's not much to work with in a game like this, but I think they did their best. They like described the power-ups. I don't know if you guys noticed, but the green kind of shake looking thing that gives you energy is actually a wheatgrass shake. Like, of all things, I don't know why they went with that. So that's how you get energy, but yeah, Aerosmith.
Is it one of the band members a vegetarian or something?
Maybe, but it's not like a milkshake. Oh, I guess if it's a milkshake, if they're vegan, then that would be bad. So yeah, I don't know if you guys noticed, you could have laser discs, which actually cause more damage than a standard CD. So watch out for those.
Well, they're bigger. So
yeah. So yeah, they describe the different levels. They describe the power-ups. I mean, there's not much here, but I think the SAS gives it a little extra kick. So I'm going to give it 3 out of 5 Mario 2s.
Oh.
Yeah, that's good.
I was expecting a little higher from your description, but...
I mean, it's short because, like I said, there's just not much to the game that they can talk about. But what they had there, they made the best out of. So, 3 out of 5. Mm. That's above average.
Yeah. Speaking of one of our other regular segments that Huel might want to submit a guess for to me.
I don't know what you're talking about. Okay.
Now, Todd.
Yes.
How many DuckTales for Revolution X?
Ooh. As people may not be aware, the DuckTales scale has two primary factors, those being nostalgia and replayability.
I changed it. Sorry.
Sorry? What?
Nothing. Okay.
This is, you know, people might not be aware. So that, you know, replayability, it's just a mindless shooter. They're, like, how replayable is any of these games? Not really. I mean, it's only replayable if there's some kind of strategy and they're like Time Crisis. You actually have some kind of strategy you can apply and play differently.
Yeah, this like is, different this is directions, like, yeah.
Yeah, or like changing up how you duck behind the cover and everything. So there's not much strategy in this one. You just have to shoot the bad dudes and get the CDs and stuff. So not very replayable. Nostalgia, fair nostalgia. I put a few quarters into it as a kid. I'm always one of those arcade players, like, oh, look at this flashy gun game. I'll pop in a quarter or two and then play it once and then die and then say, I don't want to waste any more money on that. I'm going to go play Sunset Riders. So that's kind of been my experience with it, nostalgia-wise. The console ports, no nostalgia at all. I actually, before this week, never even knew that it was ported to consoles. So I had no idea. So that all being said, I'm going to clock Revolution X. Here's what I'll do. I'll average the...
oh, boy. Okay.
I'll average the arcade and the consoles. So Revolution X is coming in at a 0.17.
DuckTales. Oh, boy. Okay. I said 0.28, and then I bumped it up to 0.38. Because I thought the nostalgia was going to give it an extra bump. No. I was not factoring in the average between the console and arcade one.
Yeah, and the replayability is what drags it down.
Oh, I knew.
You know,
yeah,
I'm not a huge Smith head, as they say. What do they call them? Aerosmithies or what?
Oh,
Aerosmithites.
Yeah,
Aerosmithites.
I wouldn't know because they're only the second best band from Boston. The first,
the best Mighty band, Mighty Boston, right?
No, Power Man 5000, of course.
Oh,
but...
okay. Yeah. So I'm not a huge Smith head. So, I don't go into this game looking out for Steven Tyler, Joe Perry, and Chuck,
Jimbo,
and Russell. Yeah.
Russell. Look, Russell, again, I just thought I didn't take. Sorry, I didn't take into account both of same bathroom. Both versions. Okay, I'm done. Continue. Yep. What'd you say, 0.16?
0.17.
Oh, okay. Oh, well.
Yeah. Well, you know, you win one, you lose some.
I will lose like 15.
I do understand. I do understand, though, Todd, that you had one more segment that you wanted to do before you moved on.
Another, it's becoming a regular segment on the show.
We have done it like the last 20 episodes, I think. Yeah. So
regular.
So Revolution X. I think, you know, we appreciate it for what it is and how bad it is. It's a game you can play. So there you go. But I have a reason. Two reasons why Revolution X is the most best game of all time. And and the first one is a review of the Genesis port. And it's written by Melissa in 2013. And it's titled "Beat the Game in One Night." My husband was so excited to get this game, and we immediately went home and started to play. Well, sometime later in the evening, he beat the whole game. 5 stars.
All right.
Yeah.
That really tells the tale of how good this game is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Short and sweet.
5 stars.
Yep. Mm-hmm. This one is a review for the PlayStation port. There's a PlayStation port of this game. And it's by RS7J Ron.
Okay.
In 2017. And it's titled "Great for Nostalgia." It's a very simple game for the very simple mind of an Aerosmith fan. Whoa. The only type of gamer that would purchase this game this day in age is the type that just loves cheesy shooters that have no point, is an Aerosmith fan, or just wants a nostalgia overdose. It's really not a good game to just pick up and have fun. You must have some sort of history with it to really enjoy it. 5 stars.
That seems odd.
That almost seems like an accident on that one.
Huh.
Yeah, I misclicked on it.
Yeah.
It's really not a good game to pick up and play if you want to have fun. Five stars.
5 stars.
Wow. If you want to have fun.
Well, listen, maybe he just means that it's not a game. Like, it's like Handmaid's Tale. You don't watch Handmaid's Tale because you want to feel good about yourself. You watch it because you want to feel bad.
The art.
Yes.
Appreciate the art.
You want to use it as a mirror to look at society.
Yeah. It's a TV version of a Pascal's Page or video game.
Oh, yeah.
Where you just need to feel bad about yourself to feel alive.
Just to feel
anything. Give me the pain. Give me that pain.
Yeah.
Let me feel something.
Well, Todd, was there anything else you wanted to say about the old Aerosmiths here? Or
Aerosmiths? No.
Real Smithhead.
No. You know, there's not much to say about this. Like, the Aerosmith appearances in the game itself are kind of awkward and weird. They give you the missions. Well, I'm talking about the arcade version. They give you the missions.
Well, same thing.
Like, there's one mission, the intro to a stage. Jimbo, all he says is, "Hey, you need to go kill the bad guys." And then that's it. That's all he says. Like, the Aerosmith appearances inside this game is kind of weird, except for Steven Tyler, who actually does a little bit of talking. So, this is such a time capsule of the 90s. Like, you just glance at it and you feel like you're in that arcade back in the 90s. It does not hold up very well, I would say.
At all. I was kind of expecting, because this is a kind of bad video game, I was expecting more bad quips. Like, related to their song titles or something, like that dude's
that Helga,
crazy.
That Helga looks like a dude, lady.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. She's living on the edge.
Mm-hmm. Whoa. Hey, go get the bad guys. They're on the top floor. Go up the elevator and make and love in it.
If you think the New Order Nation's going to take over, dream on,
dream
buddy.
On.
Yeah. See, I already like this better. I feel like the game should have just veered into the cheese.
Why didn't they hire us? Idiots.
Well, yeah, we were like 12 at the time, but arguably we still would have done better.
12? I was like 9.
How dare you assume my age?
Oh, yeah. Huel, was there anything else you want to say about this one?
One thing I forgot to mention about the manual. This may allude to the quality of the game, but there was a advertisement on the back for the video game version of Cutthroat Island, one of the biggest flops in movie history.
Oh, I forgot that.
Yeah. A, you forgot the movie existed. B, you forgot or even never knew there was a video game for it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I just looked it up real quick. The production budget for the movie was $98 million. And this is in 1990 dollars or 95 mm-hmm. or whatever. The domestic gross was $10 million. So this was an $88 million loss for this film.
Wow.
So, yeah, I opened up the manual. I was like, holy hell, Cutthroat Island, the game.
Hadn't thought about that one in a while.
No. So that was fun.
Oh, God.
Yep.
Well, on that note, there's really nothing more we can say about the old Revolution X. Let's move right along to the email portion of the show. Todd, did you receive any emails?
You know what? I did. This is an email titled, "Are my gaming usernames good? Which is the best? Gaming username ideas? Dear YPB, I am a girl. Feel free to recommend some other names. My ideas so far. Girls Curls 1227. I have curly hair. Low Key Bells. Low Key Gamer. Bells Snipes. Girls Curls Snipes. XX Angel of Death XX. That's a little too dark.
That's a leader.
Feel free to recommend some other names. Sincerely, April from Seattle.
Huh. Okay.
Wait, her name isn't Belle?
Bell's skills. What first question. Is it Loki as in the god of mischief? Or
no,
low
it's low in, low okay. key. Yeah, like a...
What were those again?
Low Key Bells.
Uh-huh.
Low Key Gamer.
Low Key Gamer. Maybe that's like a double meaning. Like maybe I want to imply that it's low key, but I'm just low key.
Oh, I'm just like a lock that's at the bottom of the door.
Right. That's exactly what that means. Well, I gotta throw them out because they don't say that you're a girl in the name. I mean, that's the first thing you need to get
a girl. Yeah. The first thing she said when she wrote is, I am a girl. So obviously that's. Yeah. Something she wants to include.
Important to you.
Well, that's the first rule of online gaming is that if you're a girl, you have to say that you're a girl. So, yeah.
In case anyone wants to like say bad words, they know that you're around. Right? I like XX Angel of Death XX. Just put girl in there somewhere, and I think that's the winner. Angel of Death Girl XX.
Yeah. I was gonna go like curls angel of death XX.
XX low key angel of curls death girl XX. That's my suggestion.
It's a very long Xbox user handle, or whatever they call them.
They got enough bits and bytes in there. They can handle it.
Yeah, I can't improve on your suggestion, Huel. I think that's my answer, too. Just put them all in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds good. It's really, really unique.
Yeah.
Curls. Just throw curls on the end, too.
Put curls in there twice. You got more than one curl.
Yeah. That's why there's an S there.
Yeah.
Actually, it's a Z. Curls with a Z.
Oh, of course.
Oh.
What an idiot. Ugh. I should have known.
Huel, did you receive any mails?
I got an email, and here it is. Dear YPB, first of all, congrats on your fourth year of the podcast. To commemorate it, I was listening to your Super Mario World episode. Man, you guys really like that Mario had a cape. Just because he was wearing a cape, that makes him great. I got a cape, and everyone hated me for it. As soon as people heard about it, they were pissed. I don't get it. Great job, Mario. You get a cape and everyone loves you. Good for you, you jerk. Anyway, what Ben Affleck movie should they make a video game out of? And it wasn't signed, but it came from b_a_69dude@hotmail.com.
That's good.
Yeah, what Ben Affleck movie should they make?
I mean, one we talked about today is Armageddon, but I don't know how good of a game that would make.
That might not be bad. I mean, they already have Asteroids. It's basically the same thing. But I don't know if we can just put Bruce Willis in that little spaceship and we're good to go.
Yeah, I never really thought about that, but Armageddon really is a big screen version of Asteroids. That's good, good IP usage on their part.
Piping hot IP.
Yeah. Gotta put that Asteroids license to use.
Gotta blow it off first.
I'm looking at his filmography right now. Of course,
did you go MDib or Wiki?
Just Wiki.
Okay. See, I judge people for that.
Well, you know, I just use Google and let it take me where I needed to go.
Take me. Close my. I feel like
take
lucky.
Me away, Google.
First off, the indie shovelware game would definitely be Argo.
Because, I don't know about indie. I mean,
yeah, it would be like one of them Telltale games.
Indie shovelware would be like Mallrats.
I don't know. I don't know how that would they would make that into a video game though.
Also, that's my choice, Mallrats. I just found out.
You can have a
not
a
Jiggly.
Yeah.
Oh God.
Back of a Volkswagen bonus stage.
Yeah. My pick.
It could be like a supermarket sweep.
Oh yeah.
Run around getting chocolate pretzels.
Mm.
My pick has to be Pearl Harbor.
I mean, it's an obvious choice.
A lot of action going on there.
Yeah.
Fly an airplane around.
Right. Bombing the harbor. It'll be fun.
Yeah. My pick would be the town, but really the town would just be like Boston Grand Theft Auto. Which again that sounds like a fantastic idea, and
it'd be like
they
the,
should probably do that.
The PC game Payday, the heist game.
Yeah, where it's like all the heist versions of like the latest Grand Theft Auto, GTA 5.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's all of those. That'd be fun.
Who doesn't like a good heist? Like
an idiot.
Yeah. Heist movies. Good movies.
Diamond Investors.
Yeah, the town. That's true. Diamond Investors.
Yeah.
So is that or Goodwill Hunting?
What about Goodwill Hunting too? Hunting Day.
Hunting season.
I'm looking at some of the other ones here. He's been in more superhero movies than I realized.
Well, there's the
most famous plastic is Daredevil.
Yeah,
I'd forgotten he was Daredevil, and also he is in Elektra, apparently.
Well,
as Daredevil,
tagging along,
Then Batman v Superman, in a little movie called Suicide Squad.
Oh, Suey Squirt? Yeah, he was in that for a little bit.
Suicide Squad?
Suey Squirt?
He was in Curb? I don't even remember that.
Probably played himself. A cheap move.
Listen to S-Screen thinking he's in the biz.
This says he played Customer.
Oh. Okay. What season?
2009. So the season before this last one, I would assume.
2009?
Oh, season 7. So, well, I just knew that they were gone for a while, and then they came back.
Yeah.
So,
Curb is back.
Yes. So, let's move along to the new news portion of the show. three items this week.
Whoa.
I know. So Capcom is partnering with IM 8-Bit to release cartridge versions of Mega Man 2 and Mega Man X. Each one, they work in the original systems, they cost $100, and they have limited runs of 7,500 copies. So
was Mega Man X the PlayStation one?
Super Nintendo.
Okay.
Like, they kind of, you know, they made it, like, more futuristic than...
So, than the... they're...
Yeah?
I'm very confused.
Yes.
So, the game already exists on the Super Nintendo.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They're doing a reprint, is what they're doing.
For $100.
Yes.
Did you look up on your favorite website to see what the original is going for?
You know, I think it's a valuable game, but probably not $100 valuable. Let me check right now.
Extremely pointless.
Yes, you can buy a loose cart of Mega Man X for $23 right now.
Yeah, it seems a lot less than $100. So, yes. Okay. Whatever, box guys.
Box and manual used is $74. So,
okay. Do you want the manual? Cheaper. Oh, is this new company also printing the manual?
Yes, they are doing. It's basically
got me.
It's a collector's edition, so it's got a nice manual. It's got some other inserts, and apparently, of the 7,500 copies they're doing, a small batch of those have like a fancy, shiny, reflective color to them.
Oh, like a Topps trading card.
Yes,
it's the hologram one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So these are meant to be, you know.
It's the foil pack.
Yeah, for the sweetest of baby boys.
I guess so. I'm skeptical.
Yeah, $100 to me was pretty steep. So,
and I guess they can get away with it as a limited run, but the fact that it already exists on that system.
Oh, well, here's the other thing. Capcom has shoved both of these games out like multiple times. Like, they're on Capcom collections, and you can buy them on virtual stores and stuff like that. So they are not hard to find.
Exactly.
So, yep, this is solely for them hardcore Mega Man fans.
So did Capcom like license them to do this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, it is officially blessed by the old Capcoms.
Ooh. Okay. Yeah.
Second item, Ikaruga, a classic Dreamcast shmup, is being released for the first time on a modern system, the Nintendo Switch, on May 29th.
Ikaruga.
I honestly, I have no clue how to pronounce that. Do you guys have any two?
I don't either, but I feel like it's not that. That's my Ikaruga? Only comment.
Ikaruga.
Take it away, Teeb. What do we got?
Ikaruga.
Yeah, exactly. Perfect.
I played this back on the Dreamcast. It is a fun shmup. It's
weird. It's a romp and a half.
Yeah, you switch colors between like black and white, and you can absorb the bullets thrown at you, and then unleash them for power ups. So, okay. Of course, like all shmups, very hard as you get into it. So, finally, the biggest news item of the week, and I have a feeling you guys may have seen this, a new wrapped copy of Sonic the Hedgehog 2 for the Game Gear sold this week.
I saw a headline of this.
It sold from a store because it was reported, you know, if you scan a barcode at a Walmart or something like that, like, inventory of that is kept for like all of those companies, like Walmart wants to know, and a bunch of these other business analysts want to know. So apparently a copy of Sonic the Hedgehog 2 for the Game Gear finally moved. It was the only Game Gear game sold apparently in the quarter and in just in general in a long time. So the speculation is on the internet that Toys R Us is doing liquidation sales right now. So it was probably sitting on a back shelf somewhere. And finally someone saw it and said, hey, I'm going to buy that. So.
Yeah, it still had that $60 sticker price on it.
Yeah, that's plausible to me because my local Walmart is still trying to get $20 for PlayStation 2 Madden football games. So. Like, I'll go there, and yeah, it's just sitting on the bargain shelf, even though it's still $20, and it's like Madden 2008. So, that's what I imagine happened here, is, you know, they just kept that copy of Sonic on the shelf, and nobody bought it until just now.
It is
good
weird.
Good times. Yeah.
Maybe this is why they went out of business.
I still got, there's one that's like 5 minutes from me. I got to go there and see if there's anything I want to scoop up. Maybe some copies of Home Alone or something else that Cheryl Moops really liked.
Meeks?
Oh, Cheryl Meeks. Yes.
Yeah, Cheryl Moops. M. Meeks.
The yeah. Moops.
Well, that's all I had for new news. Todd, did you receive any asks this week?
Somebody needs our help, guys.
Oh.
So let us ask the Sweet Boys. Right, send in all your asks, your life questions to parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com, and we will keep your questions anonymous.
Okay.
And this one is from Anonymous, and they write, how do I tell my dad I dented his new Mercedes-Benz? Today I was driving, and this man in front of me slammed on his brake. So I slammed on my brake, but I still rear-ended him. He kept driving, even after I honked at him to pull over. I'm 17 years old, and my dad bought me a new 2018 Mercedes-Benz a few months ago. I'm so scared to tell him because this car was very expensive, and I feel like he's never going to let me drive again. The dent isn't too bad, but it's still noticeable. So I have to tell him. How should I tell him? Without getting into too much trouble. I already waited a day, so I have to tonight. Thank you. And this was one I held on to for got it about 6 months ago.
So it had already happened the day before, and he somehow didn't notice. Now I have to figure out how to tell him. Steve?
I've got a better idea. Just drive that car off a ledge into a ravine. And collect the insurance money.
Or just...
And then you don't...
Good.
And then you don't have to worry about telling him about the dent.
Yeah.
Just tell him... Just tell him that a killer was after you.
Yes.
Yeah. He's seen Duel, the classic Steven Spielberg vehicle.
Right. Mm-hmm. Probably, because everyone has.
That indie director, Steven Spielberg.
Yeah. Have you not seen that, Huel?
No.
Oh, my God.
I wasn't really planning on it.
It's the one where there's a tractor trailer, like, following a guy in a car across a cross-country trip. It's shockingly well done, and then you find out, oh, it's because it's by Steven Spielberg. It was like his first movie.
Yeah, it was his first movie. I knew that. I have not seen it. Mm-hmm. But they said that there was a dent in the car?
Yeah, there's a dent. The guy in front slammed on his brake, and the rider slammed on their brake, but still rear-ended them.
So I'm guessing it's somewhere in the front.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what I would do is dent the back of the car so that evens it out, and then he probably won't notice. He'll be like, oh, it must have always been like that. It's just a feature. Yeah. Okay.
Hmm. You should just, you probably won't notice. Just hide it. But if he does notice, just remind him, hey, the modern fashion today is to get some pre-worn jeans with holes in them. This is the BMW's new style. This is what they're going for.
Okay.
So
this is what all the kids are after. This is increasing the value of your car. It's a collector item now.
So wait, if I understand correctly, did the asker, like, their car hit the back bumper of another car?
Yes.
Like they caused the accident.
Yes. Right.
And the other car didn't stick around? That seems weird.
Maybe they were texting. It's like, there's no way the cops will believe me. And they ran away.
Yeah.
Or maybe they were high on drugs.
Whoa.
Yeah, actually. Yeah, they probably had a warrant out for their arrest. That happens all the time around here. So,
they call that pulling a green wheel.
I gotta save scum my situation out of this.
Save scum away out of this one.
Let me load up 5 minutes before I got into this accident.
Get high.
Yeah. Oh,
there you go.
I mean, I already gave my answer. You should drive the car, or just leave it in a bad neighborhood, let it get stolen, and then collect that sweet insurance money.
Yeah, big car.
Yeah. I mean, it's a 2018. It's just going to go down in value anyway. Come on.
It already has.
Yeah. Lost half its value the second you drove it off the lot.
There you go.
So, yeah. Do you have an answer for this one, Todd?
Yeah. I did.
Yeah, you said it.
And I said it.
Oh, okay. Sorry, it blurred together in my mind with Huel's. You guys not suggesting the drastic steps she needs to take to solve this problem. Or
no, my answer is a little bit more realistic.
Mm-hmm. Well,
there you go.
Good times. Todd, was there anything else you wanted to say before we signed off here?
Yeah, you know what? I think that Aerosmith band is okay. I think they're okay after all.
Oh.
Yeah, that was in question.
Yeah, good words of wisdom. Huel, anything else you wanted to share?
It's impossible to have too many CDs.
Oh, definitely a 90s statement at this point.
Yep.
What about two CDs?
Oh, yeah. I don't know how it took that long, but here we are.
CD, two CDs?
Yeah. You want two CDs?
These what?
CDs.
Oh.
This is a family-friendly show here.
And on that note, here's a little snifferoo of next week's game.
Uh-huh.